Okay, this is Tom Patton kicking off the Connecticut Port Authority Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, April 21, 2026. We have a quorum with David Forrest, Tom Patton, Paul Whitescarver, Gaffney Fescue, and John Johnson. In addition, we have Jill, Faye, Michael, and who's that behind Mike? I can't see.
Melissa's hiding.
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Welcome. The first order of business, of course, is to approve the January 2026 Finance Committee meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Don't move.
Do I have
Second.
a second? Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Next order of business is a public comment. Jill, you want to walk people through that?
If you're joining on Zoom, you can just raise your hand or take yourself off of mute to make public comment. If you're joining on the phone, you can press star six or star nine.
Is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none, let's move to item four, the financial update. Faye, let's go through the finance report first.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Presenting the financial report for the quarter ended March 31st, 2026, starting with the statement of revenue and expenditure.
Do you mind if we ask questions as you're going to each part of the report?
At the end of each page, you could
Okay,
pose
that would
any
be sufficient.
questions.
Okay.
Starting with the statement of revenue and expenditure, the Port Authority's third quarter report for fiscal year 2026 indicates an operating surplus before depreciation and amortization in the amount of $1.2 million. This comprises of general operating revenue for the quarter amounting to $990,000, bringing total operating revenue for the 9 months to $2.67 million, 90% of budgeted operating revenue to date. Oyster's lease revenue in the amount of $1.5 million, which includes the interest income and the amortization of deferred inflow of resources, and Gateway's assessable revenue of $978,000 amount to 90% of total operating revenue. General operating expenditure for the 9 months amounted to $1.45 million, an increase of $377,000 for this quarter. 57% was attributable to payroll, 19% to contractual services, 15% to administrative and marketing costs, and 10% attributable to revenue commitments, which include impact fee and revenue share payments to the City of New London. Depreciation and amortization charged for the period is estimated at $4.5 million and $350,000, respectively. The net contribution for non-operating activity estimates $64,000, which greatly consists of net interest from stiff and banking activity over lease interest in the amount of $98,000. Port Authority's revenue generated from the EPA Clean Ports program is in the amount of $12,500, less Port Authority's non-federal share of the EPA Clean Ports program, totaling $47,500. The aggregate of both operating and non-operating activity results in a net reduction to Port Authority's net position by $3.56 million for the period. Any questions on page one, two, or three?
Yeah, I have a question. Why did the interest income from the Orsted lease drop 22% from what we were budgeting?
So what that is, so that is just for the 3 quarters as opposed to the full year. So this is just for 3 quarters, and the budget is for the full 4 quarters for you.
Okay,
But
thank
we
you.
are estimated to make the full amount.
Gotcha. And what is that? The interest income, that obviously that's in the agreement with Orsted. What is the interest for?
So that's
What is
the lease revenue is
it?
amortized. It's treated as you have the principal portion and the interest portion.
Oh, okay.
So, but the total of the two will be the 1.5 million, which is
Which is three quarters of.
500,000 per quarter. Any other
They're
questions?
not actually paying us interest, John. It's just how the accountants force us to register it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've seen that on other line items too, so I hear you.
Any other questions on pages 1, 2, or 3?
Yeah, John, the lease accounting rules are supposed to make it easier to understand, but they don't. It's very esoteric.
Well, I think they might make it easier to understand in some business models, but not this one.
Yeah, that's fair.
We got to do what we got to do, right?
Yeah.
Moving on to page 4, which is the balance sheet. Current assets reduced by an average of 11.7 million for the period, which is reflected in a reduction in restricted cash by roughly 12 million and an increase in cash and cash equivalents by 300,000. Restricted cash consists of deep mitigation balance of 2.7 million, which is part of the HDE, NECR lease fund of 1.4 million, and Orsted's interest of 750,000, which they have not withdrawn as yet, and Centerville's bond of 2.3 million. The accounts receivable balance as of March 31st consists of Gateway, the quarterly assessable revenue, 385,000, and the pilot commission of 29,000. The pilot commission has been received. Non-current assets reduced by 5.7 million to 302 million from fiscal year 2025 to date, resulting from a net change in leasehold improvements by 4 million, purchases amounting to 477,000, less depreciation and amortization charges of 4.8 million, and a reduction in the non-current portion of lease revenue by 1.3 million. You can see note 12 on page 5 for that. Current liabilities reduced by 12 million, reflective of the payment to CPA's CMR as made in the previous quarter, which reduces all outstanding retainage and construction payable on the financials.
Hey, Faye, just remind me, what's the payable to Neo and Orsted 709?
That's the interest on their contribution that was held in WebSelf and the escrow.
I got you.
They have not withdrawn it to date, which they can.
At any time, they can take it.
Reduction in payable to the state of Connecticut of 380,000, and payments to suppliers amounting to 421,000 since fiscal year 2025 to date. Non-current liabilities reduced by 376,000, mainly representing a reduction in the non-current portion of the lease liability. You can also see note 11 on page 3 for this. Total net assets at the end of fiscal year 2026 stood at 297.8 million. Any questions on the balance sheet?
So in the cash accounts, we got just under $3 million. And we getting any interest on any of that money?
Yes.
And how much?
So That averages currently, well, it depends on what funds are the balance, 12,000 per month.
12 grand per month. Okay.
But that interest, along with the stiff interest, is reflected in the statement of revenue and expenditure under interest income other, which is under non-operating.
Okay.
So for between stiff and the general operating, we have 217,000 received for the 9 months so far.
That's real money.
Yep.
Moving on to statement of cash flow, which is on page 6. Net cash outflow for operating activities amounted to 352,000, which reflects the difference in cash received for from assessable revenue from Gateway, pilot commission, and interest on the NEO lease, less payments made for payroll and general payments to suppliers. Net cash outflow for capital and financing activities amounted to 11.5 million, representing the net of EPA project revenue, that is, Port Authority's receipts for staff time, less the contribution for non-federal share.
So what's the cash payments for customers?
Just operating
Who is that?
all vendors from Port Authority.
So they're vendors.
Yes,
No.
all through.
Cash payments for vendors. Why don't we say vendors instead of customers?
Oh, find this. Beautiful.
Farida.
That's a restarting that second. Net cash outflow for capital and financing activities amounted to 11.5 million, representing the net of the EPA project revenue, principal revenue on Austal's lease capital payments, and return of Ship One bond funding that was from the Town of Fairfield and Essex. Total cash inflow from investing activities estimates to 326,000. Net change for the 9 months, 11.5 million, resulting in a balance of 13.4 million. And these cash and cash equivalents consist of restricted cash, stiff investments, and the general operating funds. Any question on your cash flow?
No, I'm not.
Moving on to the core CT project analysis. Core CT payments for this quarter estimated 2.7 million, which were distributed as follows. Ship 4 in the amount of 1.5 million, which were mainly the City of Norwalk and City of West Haven, and 1.2 million for the development of a comprehensive plan for dredge material, which is through
Okay,
uses.
seven,
Page
six,
7.
seven, seven.
Total distributions for the 9 months, total 6.72 million. And total core CT funding amounts to 41.8 million as of March 31st, 2026. These include the addition for the Ship 5 funding and the funding for the dredging of deep water ports that we received in the amount of 19 million. Any question for the core CT project analysis?
Just one, why ship five isn't broken out? Is it just not yet broken out or?
So with Ship 5, we are doing it different, whereby in core CT we have the funding in one bucket and we'll be managing it separately.
So it's in one core CT account, and then we track it on a spreadsheet.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to need to, as that gets going now that we're signing contracts with towns, we're going to need to manage that. We're going to always know what is available, and we'll probably do another round of SHIP because we didn't allocate $5.2 million. We still have about $1.6 million that's available. So we're going to make that available in the third quarter of this year. And then as projects finish, if they didn't expend the total amount and didn't need the full reimbursement, then that money will also be made available in that same account.
When do we
So,
know the industry know that money's going to be available? We haven't done that yet, right?
well, we did for SHIP 5.
and we have
We
this.
told them they could come back.
We've always told them that we're doing SHIP 5, and if we don't spend all the money, there'll be another one. We haven't announced a date for that over.
And out of SHIP 5, 10 agreements have been executed to date.
No, right.
Out of
19.
19.
So can
So
we?
I'm sorry. Oh,
Oh,
go
go
ahead,
ahead,
Don.
Tom.
So we got 19, excuse me, 19 proposals, and we agreed to 10 of them. Is that what you're saying in shift five?
No. I can't remember how many
We
received, but we approved 19.
approved
But out of
19.
the 19, they
Oh,
now have to
39.
execute.
39? Sounds
Yeah.
right.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So are we making our other than pure eligibility decisions, are we making any decisions on the merit of these or and rejecting some, or we just haven't, we've got 1.6 million because not enough projects were submitted.
So we had plenty of projects submitted. We used a rubric to determine which ones met the policies and procedures and which ones were competitive. The ones that were rejected largely didn't meet the policies and procedures. They were requesting funds for things that were outside of the scope of the grant.
Right.
So 19 were approved, which is how we ended up with excess funds because we did have
Gotcha.
limits. We could only apply. Municipalities could apply up to 400,000 with a 50% cost share, and private entities could apply up to 250,000. So that's how we had those limits.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
Included 800 for Guilford, right? Correct.
Guilford also
Guilford,
got it.
right? Yeah.
And Tom, those nine that are pending, most of the time it's because of their procedures in approving agreements that have a delay in signing.
So, another way of saying it is we got in this particular round in SHIP 5, we approved 19 projects. And there was room to approve more. If we had gotten to that point, then the merits and the competitiveness might have come into play. Or another way of saying it is that we ranked the 19, but because they were all within the amount of funding we had, that really didn't come into play, right?
Yes,
Correct.
but the ranking system we use would have prioritized the most impactful projects, and the ones that weren't as impactful would have fallen below the cut line and might have been eligible at a subsequent time for a grant in another round.
Okay, thanks. And I'm just wondering, this sounds like the individualized amount or progress on each project is no longer going to be in this report. Will we kind of get like a separate, explanation update on that in each meeting or at some periodic interval?
It can be included, Dave. Doug, sorry. What I can do, although it is summarized, I can include a breakdown. But yes, you would receive an update on it.
That'd be great. Thank you, Faye.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Moving on to page 8, which is the HD activity page. There has been no change to this report. We still are awaiting closeout with Ethan, which should be completed by the end of this quarter or next quarter.
Faye's more optimistic than I am. I don't believe that that will be completely resolved by the end of this fiscal
Yeah, I'm optimistic.
year.
Sorry, what's that issue?
We are waiting to close out with ECOM, the approval of the Living Shoreline license was completed, and that was received only this week, in fact, yesterday. And that should lead to the closeout by
Well,
this
we don't
week.
have a final bill
Well, that's
from AECOM. Their last estimate was quite large, and I asked them to lower that, and they declined.
they
And
declined
that's correct. They
that.
declined to assist with the closeout cost, and we're going to continue discussions with them, which I think will take us past July 1st.
I think not.
How far off are we with what they want to? In dollars.
I couldn't say.
Okay.
We'll aim to get it done. But that's the last piece of the puzzle. Any questions on that page?
Anybody?
What will happen next quarter on that page is not on that page, but on the previous page, is we're mid-May, we should be transferring money to the Army Corps in the amount of about $17.5 million to be able to go out to bid for the New Haven Harbor Improvement Project, which will start October 1st. But that's the money that we got from the Bond Commission in December that we'll transfer to the Corps so that they can execute that process.
What is that? What percentage of the project is that 17?
It's like 20%.
20%.
Yeah, they're spending almost $80 million, and $17 million of it is due from us.
And that's all going in cat's house?
No, that is all water, that
Open water.
all a lot of beneficial use and open water discharge in and around New Haven.
No capping.
Nope, nothing.
We don't cap anything.
But no, no material requires capping.
Is that just because it's so clean?
Yep. Meets the requirements to put it where they want to put it.
That's great. Okay. Any questions on the finance report? All right, go to the next item, Faye, the OFA report.
Thank you. OFA report for the quarter ended March 31st, 2026, starting with the changes in the General Operations Fund. Referencing page four, this shows the change in cash and cash equivalents and investments for the quarter. So for the quarter, we started with 6.5 million. We received 545,000, and we expensed 894,000. Funding available at the end of the quarter, 6.16 million. Activity in the core bond projects, which again reflects the activity on page seven of the financials. We started with 20.5 million for the quarter. We received 24.2 million, which is the 19 million and the 5.2829 for the ship five. And the negative 289, that shows the allocation because that was funding that was returned from the town of Fairfield and the town of Essex that was reallocated. And expenditure for the period, 2.7 million. That unallotted funds not yet reallocated as other funding that was returned from Ship One completed projects that will be applied to future funding requests. And for New London State Fair project, no activity for this quarter, but funding balance of 1.9 million.
So, Michael, AECOM wants more than 1.9 million.
No.
No.
No, but while we're trying to close out AECOM, we're also trying to close out any interactions with Blakeslee,
Yeah.
and those two are in need to be in balance with each other.
I got you. Okay. Thank you.
As well as the living shoreline.
And just while we're looking at the general operations fund, the funding available number at the end of March of $6.1 million, that's essentially where we're funding the contribution to the EPA grant from. Our total contribution was $600,000 out of the $5.9 million project, 5.3 from the EPA and 600,000 from us, and to date we've already paid approximately 42,000 of that. So the remaining 560,000 will come out of that 6.1 million over the next couple of years.
Sorry, Michael, what project was that? What EPA
Clean
project?
Ports, the Clean Ports grant for shore power at the New London State Pier.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now we've got all that in the budget, but I'm just describing where that money's coming from.
Does that actually get funded by the
Still funded.
government?
Still funded. Still funded.
Great. Okay, any questions on the OFA report? Okay, Faye, take us through the plan 2027 budget.
Tom, I'm going to start with a plan of operation for 2027 that you have received by a separate email. Everybody seen that? This will make its way through the finance committee and the full board when we meet next week. Any adjustments or feedback we can put in here, be happy to do it. But on the first page, we've described what the revenue streams are. I did highlight that the New England Central Railroad lease is significantly impacting the lease payment from Ørsted. And as we work with Ørsted and then structure on what can be done with the state pier next, we're
Michael,
certain
what is that? What do we use that property for?
we're borrowing, we're leasing a triangle of about 4 acres on the western side of the warehouse from the railroad. To give Ørsted the acreage requirements that they had for their project. Recently, it was used for parking and storage, but they moved parking off-site and they're using as much storage space on the state pier as they could possibly find to move as much equipment into the United States as possible as soon as.
And we're locked in based on our revenue. Is that what the problem is?
No, based on our agreements with Ørsted, they have required that the total acreage for their project be X. And so we went out and got the extra acreage from
We
the
got
rail.
the expert. Our revenue was fixed with to pay for it, but our costs are what,
Well,
4% or whatever it is
yeah,
now.
so the Ørsted lease is $2 million a year, but the
Yeah.
railroad lease goes up 4% a year. It started at 550,000. We paid 664 this year. It continues to go up by 4%, so it continues to erode the $2 million lease payment.
And you're suggesting we get out of that arrangement, or?
Well, at the point where we don't need that acreage, we should work with the railroad to not have the lease anymore.
Right.
That's an extra $664,000 in revenue from that project. That's a third of the lease payment almost.
Yep.
And if the railroad doesn't want to give up some monetary value of that, perhaps they charge less and we'll retain it. I don't know. Or perhaps there's a way to buy it, but they don't want
Yeah.
to give up land. So
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
there are options that we need to, we can't just sit here and pay 4% forever for 4 acres.
It's a ten. How long is the lease? 10 years or 15 years?
10
12.
years,
12.
12,
12. Yep.
renewable. Able to be turned off at any time. We just paid them. So, this is the time of year where if I go into them and say, yeah, we don't want the property for the rest of the year, please give us the rest of our year's money back. That would spark a different conversation than if I hadn't given the money and I was about to negotiate.
So we prepay.
We did. Well, now it's prepay, but we also put the money in escrow so that it's always there, and it's always out. It's always there 3 years out. So while we paid them $664,000, which we took out of escrow to pay them in this fiscal year, we also made a payment of over $700,000 to go back into escrow for the year three payment. So this is what they got paid this year, but this is not our budgeted amount for this year.
Gotcha.
We're going to continue to work with Orsted and Instructure to figure out what we can do with the State Pier next. Whether that is some smaller project that can start in mid-2027 or sooner, or do we have to wait for a larger project in 2028 when they claim that they're done with Sunrise? If they're done with Sunrise in 2020, by the end of 2027, and Revolution Wind has five more towers to install when they're done with Sunrise, and so they have to work out the details for that as well. So there's some back and forth on what we can do next. But we've put the word out that the State Pier is available for discussion, depending on who wants to use it for what.
And how do we get that word out? Who do we talk to?
Tell people when we engage them,
by our partners, website.
By discussions right now, we haven't put anything up officially on the website. It is still a responsibility of Orsted to sublease the property. That's the best option. When they don't have a sub letter, that's the right word, they could declare an idle period, which means Instructure will have it for at least 2 years before Orsted can have it back to do anything on a sublease basis. And then Instructure will engage their marketing arm to bring freight into the State Pier.
Yeah.
But again, all the deliveries to the State Pier should be complete by the middle of 2027 for this project. And then it's just making the pier look emptier and emptier every day until the next tenant can go in there.
Mike, on the railroad property, we can get out of that lease each year.
Yes.
Does that affect our lease to Orsted?
Yes.
In other words, if that 4 acres is not available, does that reduce what they pay us?
It could. Because they would have to agree not to have that property, and then we would have to negotiate how much less they would pay compared to how much we would have to pay out to the railroad.
Okay. Thanks.
We would likely not give them dollar for dollar.
Hope not.
We would also have to determine an alternate access point for the fisherman area.
I'll look into that, Dave, but I'm not sure that's railroad property.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
But I'll make sure.
And there's talk about putting two more fishermen in there. Is that right?
Yeah, we think there's room for two more fishermen, but everybody's got to work together down there, and they're just 9 to 10 months into having four people down there right now, so... we will continue to explore that. We're not going to impose two more spaces on the people that are using the pier now, but as their plan of action over the course of the year comes into view, then when they find there's more room to support other fishermen, then we probably work that
out. They have a nice deal, the fishermen do.
They do, and it could be nice for two more colleagues, and we may have to upgrade some electrical supplies to accommodate that, but that's what we would continue to talk to them on. I talk to them pretty frequently.
Yeah. It's good people.
Communications and marketing, the website is working out well for us, and we've done other things that business directory. We have other things we can do with the website. people to let people access what ships are in the port, show them some stuff on tourism, continue to communicate. The website was instrumental, I think, in the work Melissa did for activating the ship grants online and being able to look at those. So that was a big help.
So that new company working out well.
The website's working out well.
Well,
we're managing the website. We have the ability to put things up on the website, take things down, change it, edit it. Yep. Now the design of it, the work that Vincent Holt did to lay out the platform and give us the capability that we do have and host that site. They don't host the site, do they? No, we paid for the hosting, so that's all water under the bridge right now. We're going to continue to sponsor events and be visible at venues across the state. Most notably, we're going to sponsor the September Maritime Heritage Festival in New London again this year. We've come up with a maritime education network and training opportunities for residents program. You'll note that spells out mentor. We're going to support annual scholarships at several institutions. That locks in a relationship with that institution, and they have programs in place where if we give them a contribution, they will make sure that the scholarships get routed to the people that could make use of the scholarships. And all we have to do is tell them the criteria. Connecticut residents that are supporting a maritime business will be able to do that.
Okay.
Faye's got a plan for how much we will budget for that and a list of activities we will sponsor. Somebody have a question?
No, I was just saying that's great.
You know, we meant for that program to just, you know, encompass everything we do with the next generation of maritime workers. Networking and training includes, you know, our ability to bring interns in here. That's why we expanded that by one this year to three. Would we do four? We'll see how three goes, and then we'll make a decision on that. We've also got an effort to work with people to identify underutilized commercial waterfront properties. We think if we identify those with the right people and work with municipalities, then we can market those and actively create interest in more people doing business along the waterfronts. And I think most notably, the areas up and down the Connecticut Thames River need attention. For staffing, you know, we've already increased the staff size to include two community liaisons. That has worked out very well. We created the project manager position so that we could handle a Pier 7 project. We might also need some of that expertise if the PIDP grant for Buckeye Terminal is approved. We're still waiting to hear about that. And then any other projects that we might take on. I think over time, we're going to look at other, but before I get to that, we do have going to the HR committee today an increase in the number of hours for the financial administrative assistant position. Because of SHIP, EPA grants, and some MARAD interactions, we're going to need more hours to support the finance director. We don't need another full-time person there, but going from half-time to three-quarters time is appropriate right now. And it's not person-dependent. If the current financial administrative assistant were to go, we would replace them with a three-quarters person as well. I've listed the projects that we've got going on into next fiscal year, which drives some of the budget.
Can you talk about five?
Can I talk about five? Yeah. Five is before the commissioner. Five is for Trumbull Pier 7. Commissioner Nadeep, we met with her and her staff a couple of weeks ago. She owes us an answer on whether she wants us to enter into an MOU to handle the remediation of that project or not. She was on vacation last week, and I have not heard from her this week, but she still owes an answer. I don't know. This answer has waited 2 years as it is right now. So if you want me to guess about their response in the next 30 days.
Oh, God, it's probably crazy.
I have a plan B that could get us more money from the federal government, so we'll see what happens.
Can you explain that a little bit more with the remediation that's required? And
well, Pier 7 was evaluated by a state grant of $750,000 several years ago. GZA did the work, came up with what was the liability and what was the estimated fix to one, make sure that pier stays in business for another 50 years because no maintenance has been done on it to date, and to take on the addition of shore power at that state pier to handle medium-sized Navy vessels. That was the sizing requirement for the shore power. Some of the cost of that shore power involved electrical infrastructure on land going through Fort Trumbull to get that power onto the pier. Nonetheless, if the remediation project is not undertaken within the next 5 years, the pier could be beyond a remediation capability. We would essentially then, 5 or 10 years from now, have to tear down the pier and start over. When the pier is used for certain levels of ship traffic, like we had a Navy vessel in there last September, GZA evaluates the current condition of the pier and assesses whether the docking can occur for that size vessel or not in the weather expected weather conditions for the time frame. So that's how they've been handling it year over year. But it is time to make a decision. We have generated a draft MOU, which DEEP has had input into, and we gave that to them in October. And we're still waiting on a decision as to whether they want to enter into it. They do have concerns about where we're going to get the money from, because if we get funded for something, then they could take funding away from something else, maybe something that they were asking for funding for. That's a hypothetical situation. It doesn't exist. We've missed the deadline for applying for congressionally directed spending for the next round in the fall, because those had to be in April, and April 6th. And so if they say they want us to remediate the pier, I think our next step is to go find money, and that might take a while.
But okay.
One thing I want to make sure we clarify, and your explanation clarifies it for me, is that when we say that the pier needs to be remediated, that's the condition of the pier needs to be improved, and a lot of modernization and renovation needs to happen in order to keep it functional. We're not talking about environmental contamination. It's just when people see the words remediation and they see DEEP and they don't know the context, especially since this evaluation was done a few years ago. For those who might be listening, who might read this, I just want to make that clarification.
Thanks. Maintenance is required.
Yeah, and I'd also add it's gross negligence by the state by not doing anything.
Amen. And they're sitting on the application now for 6 months? Is that
we gave them an MOU in October.
An MOU in October, not 6 months.
Did we give it to them in October or was it early?
But I count them up. Count them up. It's 6 months right now.
6 months.
But how you look at it?
Just GZA did this, the $41 million design. That's been done for over a year, right? So DEEP has been sitting on this project for I don't know how long, and it's just gross negligence by the state to let this pier fall into the water.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I think they have to make decisions, and we've requested that they do that. If they agreed, we'd move forward and start managing that. If they said no, then we'd make sure everybody knew that DEEP's decided they didn't want us to do it, and I guess they'll handle it, or the state can use other resources to figure out what's next. But nobody can do anything until this next decision is made. That's my main concern.
I'm sure, Michael, you're urging them to do it, but just 6 months of sanity. And Paul says, did the study a year?
I'm going to move on to engagement opportunities. We certainly will continue to engage all the maritime businesses, coastal municipalities, the federal and state partners, We've done a good job at making the rounds at senator and representative offices. And so, including some time where Senator Blumenthal stopped by to chat with us about what the Port Authority has going on. Number of industry associations, we'll continue our memberships in certain areas. I have not listed nuclear engineering, maritime organization, nuclear energy maritime organization in here because we're not going to continue with that. They raised their prices and they haven't been making much progress. I think there's opportunities in the future to engage with them, but for right now, we wouldn't be paying them an annual fee, just to wait and hope. We continue to have discussions about supporting increased shipping on maritime highways. There's some Department of Transportation public hearings coming up this week. Yeah, this Wednesday. So the Connecticut Department of Transportation has looped us into their revised freight plan for the next 5 years. So and that was a step forward. And there's some public comment sessions coming up on Wednesday, one in the afternoon and one in the evening. We're going to continue to develop and submit support other entities for application for federal marine highway grants and port infrastructure development program grants. We're still waiting to hear about Buckeye. We don't know if Buckeye is approved. That would be great. If it's not approved, we'll probably work with Buckeye to resubmit based on MARAD feedback by the June 1st date. But currently, we do not have another ready-to-go project that we would apply for June 1st. We do have a grant calendar being developed that will cue us into when to look for certain grants and to see with our area partners who is ready to go for different things. There's a lot of opportunity to revise some infrastructure in the Port of New Haven that we'll work with the New Haven Port Authority on. They do have a lot of concerns with docking large tankers, and they're only going to get larger because we're making a channel deeper. They have some concerns with the docking configurations there that we think that grant money could be used to improve the docking configurations. For maritime economic development, the ship grant's been the primary support mechanism for small harbors. They changed the legislation to include private entities. That has made it a little bit more complex and has limitations on what we can do to support private entities over municipalities. We're going to work with the legislature to continue the SHIP grant program and perhaps implement additional programs that we can use to directly support the business community with development, workforce training, and expansion. Along with that thought, and I will edit this before our meeting next week. But Faye and I have been contemplating a maritime loan program. We would segregate a portion of the funds that we have in-house and make that available to businesses for certain dollar amount loans that we will either administer ourselves or administer through a bank. We'll find the most streamlined way to do that. But that'll give another source for us to engage local businesses. And then our focus areas have not changed.
There's no mention in the focus area about IELTS. Is that going to education or training or
you mean marine pilots?
Yeah.
Well, since the Connecticut Pilot Commission is kind of under the Connecticut Port Authority, they're kind of captured by the commission. They have their own tasking. I wouldn't consider that part of our plan of operation.
Gotcha.
We do have pilotage fees were revised several years ago and mapped out through 2028 or 2029. I've recently learned that the surrounding states change theirs at a different frequency. So to keep in line with those other states, we might have to take some action sooner to map that out with what the other states are doing. We don't want the pilot's fees to be too different from state to state or to cause movement of freight that we don't want.
So the big ships that come into State Pier for the windmills, they all pilot all rides them in, right?
Yes, they're over the size limit and they're foreign flags, so they require a maritime pilot to bring them in that's licensed in Connecticut waters. for a US ship, a pilot may or may not be needed. The captain can choose to pilot himself, although most captains acquire a pilot. But the pilot can be, there are federally licensed pilots. In fact, all of our pilots are federally licensed. And then other people that aren't our pilots are federally licensed too. And those ships use a compendium of pilots from all different sources. And that's out of our jurisdiction. And we don't get any fees from that. We don't require any piloted of our pilots go on those boats.
So those pilots ride them in and ride them out, right?
And if they're just coming into anchor, they ride them into anchor because they get on a Point Judith in Rhode Island. And if they have to anchor out because the pier's busy, then the pilot gets off at Anchorage. And then when it's time to bring the ship in, the pilot goes back out and brings them into dock. With that overview, and if you have any feedback on the plan of operation, you can certainly email it to me and we'll make some edits for next week's meeting. But then we can go through the budget.
And in essence of time, I'll just give a brief summary. And keeping in line with Mike's plan of operation, with the Port Authority's plan of operation, just the minor changes between last fiscal year and this fiscal year, which is a net change of 175,000 benefit. Major change in the revenue portion based on the figures provided by Gateway. Port Authority share for the accessible revenue will increase by 500,000. All other budgeted figures are in line with either their contractual arrangements or what is currently experienced and is expected to be incurred or received for the next fiscal year.
Are we really anticipating $150,000 for external legal fees? Is that part of the settlement that we're trying to get done with all the people who are disputed bills with?
I anticipate legal fees going down over time.
Yeah.
So that's just a reasonable estimate, but we are aiming to
Gotcha.
keep in line there.
Yeah.
So jumping to each or summary of each. Operational expenses for payroll, an increase of 200,000. That was budgeted for the role of project manager, as well as any minor COLA changes, etc., as well as the interns.
And the finances.
And the increase for the fiscal administrative assistant. Contractual services, net change of 87,000. 50,000 additional added on for communications, outreach, and sponsorship. That takes into account 100,000 for the mentor program that was mentioned by Mike, covering as well Port Authority's 50% contribution for ILA, as well as other general communications, outreach, and sponsorship programs, estimated for 100,000. The ILA, based on the amounts we received, is 50,000 for FY12. Well, their calendar year 2025 expenditure. Jumping to marketing and business development, that generally remained the same. We did increase promotional items, advertising and promotional items by 25,000.
Let's spend it.
So
Let's spend
50,000.
it. Yeah.
And we reduced it in other areas, marketing and business development in general, and other areas, overall mileage reimbursement, etc. Administrative and general expenses that reduced by 15,000, estimate. Namely by insurance. We do estimate that the insurance reduced by 15,000 to 100,000. And then other that increase in line with the revenue share that will be paid to City of New London, reflecting the increase in accessible revenue received by Gateway or received to be received by Gateway. So the net change estimated to be 994,000, an increase of 194,000 from last fiscal year budget. Change in non-operating revenue. Major change is just the reflection of activity between EPA revenue from the 40 New London State Fair project, as well as for core city activity. We really never reflected that before, but activity is shown, and that is netted off as well below. So although the figures are there, you will see the net off below. We do estimate 200,000 for interest income. That is a moderate estimate, taking into account any interest changes. And 38,000 from the EPA for Port Authority's participation in that grant program. Expenditure, 450,000 will be Port Authority's share for the EPA State New London State Fair Shore Power project. As Mike mentioned, 600,000 was committed, 47,000 or 42,000, 47,000 was expended to date. And we do expect to spend 450,000 in next fiscal year. Which would leave a net total change in net position of 6.15 million.
So let me just ask, what are the 450 that we're going to spend from shore power? Do we have any revenue from that?
No.
No, that's our commitment.
We're not going to get reimbursed for supplying energy to the ships?
No, not in this budget.
Not in this budget.
And overall, the ships are going to have to pay for electricity through infrastructure and will result from whatever operations and structure goes.
That revenue comes to us, not to the Gateway, right?
Sure. Well, it comes Gateway charges for services at the pier. We get a percentage of what Gateway charges.
Okay, and
Now that's factored into the equation today, it's non-existent.
The electricity will be part of their charges to the ship. We get a percentage of the
It could be in their dockage fee, and dockage fees are coming.
Yeah.
Which we get 50%.
Yeah, we get a lot of it. Yeah, no, 7%. That's 50%. That's good.
Get to breathe fresh air.
That's great.
Any question on the budget?
So we're trying to expend money where appropriate for support of the community, support education, outreach, and making sure people know what can be done in the state of Connecticut. There is a huge amount of opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's a good balance, Mike. I do like the marketing outreach and make sure more people know about ways we can improve the maritime economy. We're spending a little bit of the cash we built up, which I think is fine. I think it's thoughtful and prudent. I think it's a good budget.
Any
Any
other questions?
other thoughts or comments or questions on the proposed budget?
In the explanation on 8.7, who are the insurance attorneys that are protecting our interests? And what is that claim?
So it is the different matters, but one current attorney is Star. I can't remember all the names offhand,
Okay,
but yeah.
but they're protecting our interests in what game?
So there's the Loretta Howley matter, which is the slip and fall at New London State Fair, as well as the Evan Matthews matter.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Do we need a vote on budget? I'm gonna have to jump off, but I don't want to do so before I.
So you have to vote, actually, David, on vote to submit the OFA or to put to the board the OFA, the budget, as well as the no, the accounting policy and procedures being done by the other committee. Are we putting that?
So 4B and 4C,
4B and 4C.
the committee should
Yeah.
recommend
Do you want
approval.
a joint motion or you want those separate?
It's up to Tom.
I might as well make a joint.
Okay, I'll make a motion to recommend favorable adoption of the quarterly reports, annual plan, and budget to the full board.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Okay, unanimously passed. Thank you.
Okay, I
so
got
the
jump.
Accounting. Yeah, thank you, David.
Jump.
So the accounting policy and procedure manual does not need approval from this committee. Is that what you're saying, Faye?
No, I think it's being approved by the audit governance science committee, but it was submitted for review by the audit by the account, the finance committee.
I got you. I know what you mean.
So any suggestions, amendments, please be free to make and submit so that they can be submitted to the to that committee.
Hey, the one question I do have, we always refer to Gateway. Do we need to change that to Instructure in our budget?
So Gateway actually is still functional, Paul. They do submit their reports, except everything under Gateway.
Okay. I did find two typos. I'll send them to you.
Over time, I think we'll refer more to Instructure, but right now, Gateway's not incorrect.
Paul, you get the close reading award.
Yeah. And for the accounting policy and procedure manual, you know, at the HR committee, we'll see the employee manual. The audits, policies, and review committee saw all of them, and we sent them out to the full board. So we did have a portion of these up for public comment. That public comment period is ended or ending April 24th. If there's no substantial feedback from that public comment review period, then these will go to the full board on the 28th.
Hey, you know, so reading through the accounting policies and procedures, one of the questions that I had in terms of budgeting and whether or not it's in there. So if we have a category that we are overspending and another category that we're underspending, we have to actually approve the change in the budget, correct?
Correct.
And is that a statutory requirement or is that a policy and procedure?
That is more policy, Tom, because you approved a line item, a specific amount per expenditure. You can't just go shifting in between. That's why most of our amendments you would most recently have been nil, net zero, but yeah. You show the transition between each one.
Okay. So that's a process we'll continue to leave in place as a element of good governance.
Yes. And we also have the
emergency
line item for whereby if another line item does not have sufficient or surplus to transfer, we would take from that contingency line item.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. Okay, so do you want to go through the accounting policy procedure manual that's been provided to us? I mean, it's sort of, I think the presentation materials sort of speak for themselves. Does anybody need a discussion on it, Doug or Paul or John?
I think I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay, and so... but we don't need to take action on that, Faye. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So is there any other old business to discuss? Or any other new business that's not on the agenda that should be? Okay. I guess we can adjourn. We have a motion.
So moved.
Terrific. Thank you all. Nice job, Faye and Michael and team. It's a good work product.
Thanks, Faye. Thanks, team.
Have a good day.